Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us today. We've got an amazing show today with it's Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. Let me ask you this. You know that it's not good for man to be alone, right? But is it easy for man to be with someone? We're going to talk about marriage, and that's coming up on the Rediscover Hour today. And if you have any questions about marriage, this is going to be a good show for you, particularly about, you know, how sloppy and sometimes how difficult marriage can be with two people come together to commit their lives to each other. They love each other. They can't wait to spend the rest of their life with each other. If that's the case, how come so many end up in counseling? How come it doesn't just happen naturally? And we're going to talk about that. Wow, I've got to tell you, last night in the Twin Cities here, I was so honored by Father Rocky, the staff of Relevant Radio, and all of my, what I said last night, 1,000 of my best friends came together for the Christ Brings Hope Award. And I was very, very honored. My family was there. My extended family was there, and so many friends. It was a great, great honor. And one of the things I said last night, you know, after receiving that that award is that I'm the one that knows that's not the result of one person. It just is not. And anything that we do, and particularly those things that we do that are fruitful, we're not alone. You know, we're always surrounded by great people that do a lot of heavy lifting. And I'm also very aware that, you know, that there's a providential aspect to our lives, in that God is orchestrating our lives, and that He has a plan, a master plan. And the Catechism, you know, talks about that. That plan is a plan of sheer goodness. And when you take a look at somebody's life, your life, you will see that there's a series of circumstances that in many cases you didn't orchestrate. They seem to come together, and it's kind of like being dealt a hand in cards, and all of a sudden you pick it up and you think, well, I got some good cards there, and then you want to play them well. Well, God has given me a lot of good cards in my life, and those cards are people like you. And people who have been such a blessing. And hopefully I can be a good card to somebody else and be a part of their winning hand in life. So it reminds me of the body of Christ. You know, there's different parts, and some parts are more visible and some parts are not so visible, but they're all so important in the body of Christ. And really it's all about, in the body of Christ, animating Christ and seeing Christ alive and active in the world today. That's what we're doing. You know, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Isn't that what it's all about? Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, we're still in spring, getting ready for summer, and I know you got a lot of plans. Maybe there's going to be some family reunions coming up this year. Maybe you're going to go to the cabin with the family, or maybe you and your sweetheart will just get away and go up to the North Shore and spend a couple of days. Let's talk today, shall we? Let's talk today about you and your beloved, and how do you get along, and how do you make a marriage great, and how can your marriage be a tool for evangelization? How can your marriage become a stage on which the love of God is demonstrated to your neighbors, extended family, and your colleagues at work? So that's what we're going to talk about today with our guest, Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen. He's coming all the way from Denmark just to talk to you. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Catholic intellectual formation, career preparation. Who says you can't have both? For more than 20 years, the Department of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas has offered students the opportunity to encounter the Catholic intellectual tradition in its richness and breadth on both our Minnesota and Rome campuses. As a student, you will dive into courses that integrate the humanities and are taught by a faculty who are deeply committed to the encounter of faith and reason. You will explore the relationship between Shakespeare and Scripture and the impact of the Church on the very course of history. With several hundred students, we are able to sustain a vibrant community of learning, faith, and friendship. You will be encouraged to pursue a second major as well, integrating Catholic intellectual formation and career preparation in different areas of study. Catholic Studies, forming and educating leaders within the Catholic tradition for the Church, the family, and the world. For more information on our undergraduate and master's program, or to schedule your own personalized visit, contact us at 651-962-5700 or by email at cathstudies@stthomas.edu.
You said I am here till the end, with you both night and day. So now, Lord,
welcome back. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and today we're going to be talking about marriage. You've heard the old phrase, women, you can't live without them, and you can't live with them. Same goes for men, I might add. We're going to talk about that. Our guest today is Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen. He has a PhD in psychology, all the way from Denmark. He's practiced extensively in Denmark and Norway since 1973, and he came to northern Minnesota in 1988. In 1993, he moved to central Minnesota, opened a private practice, and served the Twin City area, so a lot of you know who he is. He currently lives in Denmark, the home of one of my favorite artists, Vincent van Gogh, or as he would say, Van Gogh. Welcome to the show, Dr. Peter.
Thank you. I am so pleased to be with you again, Jeff.
It's been a while since we've been together. We were on the Morning Air show years ago.
I remember that, and I'm really honored to be with you again on Morning Air.
Well, you were one of the guests that I remembered a lot of what you said, because I thought it was so spot on, it was so practical, that I've actually quoted you, you know, for years when I talk about suffering, I talk about anger. I remember, you're a good teacher.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You know, we're going to talk about marriage, and I know that you've worked very closely with the Office of Marriage and Family in the Twin Cities, Gene Stoppelstad and the crew, and you're in the Twin Cities right now, and you're going to be, you're in the Twin Cities for quite a while, and you're going to be speaking, and we're going to talk more about that coming up, but you're going to be talking about marriage?
Yes, that's my favorite subject. It wasn't when I started counseling I avoided marriage counseling like the plague. I couldn't figure out what was going on, I couldn't control it, and I didn't know what side to take, because both parties seemed to have a valid point in complaining about the other person. So I was caught in the middle of the crossfire there. So I avoided that for a while. But I was pondering what was going on, what's the problem here. And slowly it dawned on me what a structure, a pattern in the misery. And it gave me the courage and the desire to work with it again.
Well,
and,
let's get into that, because this is kind of an odd thing. You know, it's like dreaming of having... this beautiful Rolex watch.
Yes.
You know, you've been thinking about it for years, and finally you get the money together. You know, you get your $10,000 together, and you go to the jewelry store, and you buy this amazing diamond-studded watch. You bring it home, and things start out pretty well. It, you know, it tells time. You wear it everywhere. But after a couple of years or so, you actually are having a difficult time even wearing it and wondering why you even bought that watch.
Right.
But at one time, it was the love of your life. You couldn't wait to get it. And likewise, in marriage, you've got two people that at least confess that you're the one, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I love you. I'm attracted to you. I want to give everything to you. And then they end up in your office.
Yes.
What is it with the sloppiness of marriage?
It's really a weird thing, you know, when it's almost a mystery. If two people come together because they love each other and they want to live in happiness and joy together, why on earth do they end up so often spending so much time bickering or being impatient or irritated or keeping track of each other's flaws and stuff like that? It's really a big mystery.
Please tell me it's the woman's problem.
Well, it certainly is the woman's problem too. But it's both problems.
I heard the two there.
Many would probably like me to say it's a woman's problem. I think guys would like to hear that.
Yeah,
and
right.
Women would like to hear the other thing. You see, when people come into me in the office, the first thing I notice is that they're stuck in the blame game.
Sure.
they both think that the reason why the marriage isn't working is because of the other person. So they both want me to fix the other. Mm-hmm. And that's where we start out. We call that the blame game.
When people come in, they sit across from you, and they say, "Dr. Peter, it's just not working out here. I mean, I love her. I do love her. Don't get me wrong. I love her, but it's just not working out." How do you start working with a couple?
Well, if we dig a little deeper behind the blame game, we always find in couples in crises that there is a shortage of love. Mm-hmm. It's like both parties, behind the blaming the other person, we hear a cry for love. Both parties are often a little too defensive about feeling the pain of longing for love, so they turn it into anger and criticism and blame instead. And usually they have a point in blaming the other person. Nobody is perfect. You know, mm-hmm. We all sinners, so there's something to put it on. But what they tend to not look at as very important to is their own part of the blame. You know, we have a very beautiful remedy for this kind of approach in marriage is given by our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "Do not try to remove a splinter from your spouse's eye when you have a log in your own." Mm-hmm. And many people would say, "Of course, I wouldn't want to do that if I have a log in my own." But that's so rare, so we don't need to deal with that, right? Well, I think Christ really means that we always have a log in our own eye when we get excited about something is wrong with the other one.
So you're saying that when a couple is talking to you and they start the blame game, you know, if he didn't do this all mm-hmm. the time and if she didn't do that yeah. all the time, and he's always saying this and he always, you know, the back and forth, yeah. how... And then you say that what they're really looking for is love. When mm-hmm. When they don't feel that they get that love yeah. from the other person, how does this kind of squirt out like toothpaste out of a tube? How does this squirt out and manifest itself in a marriage? You know, if people say, "I'm looking at my own marriage and I'm noticing what is a yeah. manifestation of that lack of love."
I'm trying to help them discover, each of them, what they are doing that prevents them from getting the love from the other person that they really like. How are they actually blocking their own possibilities of being loved? Most people would rather speak about what's wrong with the other person than communicate what they need and long for. Mm-hmm. But behind all the criticism and blame, there is a deep woundedness, a deep longing for attention, for affection, for love. But people don't go there. So that's the first thing we have to be aware of, that trying to help people see how they are creating the situation, or at least co-creators of the marriage they don't want. Mm-hmm. A marriage is a dynamic phenomenon, as I say it. It's not a static thing. Some people come in and ask me, "Do you think this marriage can be fixed?" I can never answer that. Marriage is not like having a car in the garage. You can wonder mm-hmm. if it helps to fix it or it's worth fixing it. A marriage is something you are creating all the time, both of you. It's a dynamic thing. So your marriage is to a large extent also dependent on what you put into it.
So when a couple sits across from you and they feel that I'm not getting the love that I really want, mm-hmm. You mentioned that they really need to articulate that. But yeah. Here's what I find very odd, Dr. Peter, is that you're sitting across from the person that you said you love the most, you know the most, they know you, and yet sharing the deep need that you have seems to be an artificial thing, that if you loved me, you would know what I need and you would naturally give it to me and I would naturally give it to you. Why do I have to bring this up like a classroom and say, "I need these three things"?
Yeah, that is because we shouldn't get stuck in this we call mind reading. You know, we tend to think that what we feel and what we need, the other one must know. Mm. But the other one doesn't necessarily know. We're two different people. We have different ways of experiencing each other, experiencing life, even different ways of conceptualizing what love is. So I think a beautiful part of marriage is to convey to the other person, however in a loving way, mm-hmm. what you need. You're helping the other person to love you that way by doing it. And people would say, "Well, it's too awkward, it's too artificial," as you say, but no, that's a cop-out. the real difficulty in doing it is that if you do it, you become vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. And when they share with each other what they need, you're sort of like the orchestra director. You're helping dissonance become a harmony and a beautiful song. Mm-hmm. Because right now we're out of tune.
Yes.
So you're kind of the orchestrator here. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, when they share with each other, honey, this is really what I need. Do some people do it verbally? Do some people do it in writing? Is there different ways of conveying this to each other?
Yeah, some people do it on their own in writing, but it's very difficult to get the heart, the feeling of what the heart is asking for through writing. It's much easier when it's done together. However, that's where it's important to have a third party, because you can express your needs in an accusatory way. Honey, I really need to feel some love from you soon. I've been waiting for a long time, and I think I've been doing a lot of love to you, so now I really need to get something from you. That's not expressing the need. That's communicating a demand and a criticism. Mm-hmm. So expressing needs means to do two things. Say what you need from the bottom of your wounded heart, or longing heart, we should say, but without demand.
Sure.
That is very important, very difficult for people, because you enter an era where you're very vulnerable, where you connect with the wounds often from your family of origin, because I believe that most of us came out of the family of origin with a dent in our need for love. Mm-hmm. We are simply created with a bigger need for love than no parent can give.
I like the way you put that. We come out of our family of origin with a dent.
Yes.
In love, yeah. You know, the dent in our love.
Exactly. And this is not a criticism of parents in the wrong way. Yes. I mean, I'm a parent myself. But I think we have to look at the fact that we are created with a need for unconditional, non-stoppable love. That's the image of God in us, you can say, that no earthly parents at this time in human history are capable of giving, even in the best of family. So we come out of these families looking for this love.
Well, let's talk about that list a little bit. You're a doctor. You're not a priest. You're not divulging anything personal about any particular individual. But certainly, over the years, you have heard and witnessed couples tell each other, "This is what I need." Give me a little bit of a lineup of the common statements that people make, and the common needs and expressions that you hear from spouses.
Yes, I. Typically begin with correcting the comment, "Oh, I love you so much. I love you so much. Why don't you love me?" or something like that, if that's the case. This expression, "I love you," often means, "I need so much to hear you say you love me." Mm-hmm. And then it's confusing to sort of come across as if you have love to give. You follow me?
Yep.
I notice in myself sometimes when I all of a sudden feel, I need to feel that my wife really loves me. I need to hear her say, "I love you, Peter." Then I will find myself going to her and say, "Oh, I love you, honey." And she responds, "I love you too." And I go, "Oh, that's what I needed to hear." But you know what, Jeff? It's a little manipulative, because you're pretending you're giving something to get something.
Sure.
And that is confusing a lot of love exchanges in marriages. So I try coach the person who is doing this to say, it's better you be honest and truthful and say, "Honey, I don't really have anything to give right now. I just need so much to hear and feel that you love me. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, it's okay for now, but I'll long for it." That's a heart opener.
Right.
And I know millions, or I'm sure there are millions of women across the country that would be excited if they heard their men come to them and tell them this way how much they need their wife outside the bedroom.
Yeah.
That would open, in many, many cases, the wife's heart.
What else do you hear from people when they start saying, "Honey, I need this or that"? What else do you hear?
Say that again, Jeff.
When the couple is talking to each other and you're saying they need to express this need for love, what are some other things that they say that they need in their life when they start to become honest with each other?
Well, this is the most profound thing. Mm-hmm. They need some affection. They need some time together. They need to just hear the words that "I love you."
Very simple.
Yeah, it's very, very simple. And it usually is the response from the other party. If you open your heart, you open the other heart too. excuse me. So this means that even in the state of feeling you have nothing to give, you can actually give something. Mm-hmm. You can give your vulnerability. You can give your need for love from the other one. It's a gesture of love. Many people are not aware of this. They think giving means giving and giving and acting, initiating love and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But as you've said before, and others say, it takes two. You know, it takes two. Or as Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, it takes three to get married. You know, you have to have the Lord in the middle of it. What do you do with a couple that there's one, say the wife, which typically I found when I was counseling as a pastor, before I came back to the church, you have a wife who is in tune with the Lord, wants to serve the Lord, a husband who is, this isn't his thing necessarily, and she really wants it to work, but he's not on the same page spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Well, spiritually, he would be on the page where he needs to be loved, whether he has the same faith as her or not, because we are created that way. So I would try to help him identify that with his need for love and maybe help him to work through some of the defenses against admitting to this vulnerable need. And once he gets into the longing for love, he is open to the spiritual dimension.
That's an interesting thought.
Of a marriage. Because the love that the wife can then convey to him actually comes from God. Mm-hmm. I think that the marriage is a place where we relate the unconditional love from God through each other. Mm-hmm. We have to be open for it and ask for it. That's why, Jeff, and here's in a way a big problem that will explain why so many struggles couple. We all enter into marriages primarily in order to get something, more than to give something.
Interesting.
That's a very interesting thing. It could sound terrible, and if people are despaired out there, say, hang on there, I have a solution to this. But if we look at it truthfully, that is where we stand. Mm-hmm. That's why all marriages will experience on and off a shortage of love, because people will be in this position. There's a riddle here, Jeff. It sounds like this. If everybody is running around looking for somebody to love them, which we are, then who's going to give it?
Yeah, yeah.
You see the problem?
Well, can you get into a difficult situation, kind of a no-win situation, where you are expecting your spouse to give you what only God can give you? And that, is there a certain limit to what you can actually expect from your spouse, and a kind of an ending point and a beginning point as to what God can give you?
Yes. I discern between demands and wishes and expectations. I hear often the question from spouses, what can you expect of a marriage? Mm-hmm. And in one way, I would say nothing and everything. You have a right to expect or hope for being loved, but you don't have a right to demand it.
Right.
You see, so it goes like this. I really need to feel you love me as much as God loves me, you can say. This totally unconditional love. I need that from you, honey.
Yep.
And it's okay to open your aching heart asking for it, because that will often make it flow from the Lord through your spouse to yourself. But you have to add on a waiver that says, but if you can't, it's okay. Then I will suffer or I will hurt, but that's where we invite Christ into the waiting position. So we avoid the temptation to enter into the blame game of being angry and critical, which kills love.
Right.
You see that?
Well, this is great advice, and I know that all of our friends listening are gonna gain from it. What about big ticket items? You know, and we're not talking about just, I'm not getting the love that I need from you, and I need to give you that love. But what happens when you have infidelity?
That's it's sort of what we do there. We start working on reconciliation first, which is another expression of love. It's taking love to a higher level, just like Christ's passion is also taking love to its highest summit.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought.
It is. I think so. And we use that in marital counseling too. And the beauty is you can actually work with couples who don't have any affiliation with the faith, because some of the psychodynamics are the same in marital counseling here as it in spiritually. Or that's why I like to work with a faith-based counseling, because even if people don't have a faith, I try to interpret the truth of the faith into what we are doing. Mm-hmm. So we need, if the husband has been unfaithful, for example, let's say I have often the scenario where he has really been caught, maybe, and regrets terribly, terribly, and he goes to her and says, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, and she just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then she begins to feel bad because she has heard and learned in her faith formation that she's supposed to forgive the sinner when the sinner asks for forgiveness.
Right.
The problem is here that reconciliation is teamwork. So we have to look at if the wrongdoer, the unfaithful husband, is actually apologizing from a true, sincere spot of repentance in his heart. Mm-hmm. Often he is consumed with guilt feelings. And guilt feelings do not open up to reconciliation, because guilt feelings are a preoccupation with your own misery. And it goes like this: oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me so I can feel better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Once again, back to ourselves.
Once again, back to ourselves, and back into selfishness that actually inspired him to be unfaithful. It's a tremendous act of selfishness. You know, mm-hmm. It's so coming back, he has to get out of the selfishness. This woman was very intelligent, because she said, I can't forgive that. Because I'm afraid if I forgive him, he'll just go out and do the same thing again. Mm-hmm. Well, he's actually already wronging her by asking for her to do him a favor. You don't ask somebody you wronged this badly to do you a favor.
Well, what should she be hearing from him? What should she expect from him?
Well, first, and this is very important for these women to know, when I go in there, this woman became very depressed and sad, because she couldn't forgive him. Then he started getting angry and impatient. I've apologized a million times, and now you gotta forgive me so we can get on. She got depressed. They came in with her to help ask me to fix her depression.
Right.
Nothing was wrong with her. I told her, you cannot forgive this. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But answer this for me. Do you wish you could? And she said, yes, I can't. And I said, no. This is too much. We cannot forgive these things by our own power.
Mm.
By our own power. Mm-hmm. Then she immediately felt much relieved and opened up. Then the man started to feel bad, because he was already feeling good. He had confessed and he was out of this, and he thought God had forgiven him and everything. So I had to work with him a little bit, help him move into repentance. And what is repentance? It is very opposite to guilt feelings. Guilt feelings is self-accusatory, negative energy, preoccupation with yourself. Repentance is more concerned about the pain I caused the other person.
Right.
And he just didn't want to go there. It was simply too painful. But I managed to help him all of a sudden, in a flash, experience what he had done to her. Mm-hmm. And he broke down sobbing. Mm-hmm. And now he knew, or he said, oh my God, now I understand. No, you cannot forgive this. I can fully understand that. I don't even think God can forgive me here. Mm-hmm. And I saw her heart opening up. Her face started having colors back. She started crying.
Yep.
And a forgiveness flew from her heart. So I asked him to look at her, because he buried his face in his hands. And he looked at her. And when he saw the forgiveness coming, he was hit like a ton of bricks, you know, and he started sobbing even more, and I started crying with him. It was so beautiful. I was sitting there in front row watching the Holy Spirit work.
Yeah, and that's what you're saying. You can't do it by yourself. You can't forgive.
No.
But God is a part of this.
Yes, and it's a teamwork. Mm-hmm. The one who has done the sin must do the act of repenting. So in the Christian community, we should be very much focused on the art of repentance. There can be a tendency to have too much focus on the victim and that the victim should forgive. Mm-hmm. But it's a teamwork. Once the perpetrator repents sincerely, it's easier to forgive.
That's beautiful. We're talking with Dr. Mm-hmm. Peter Damgaard Hansen. He's in the Twin Cities with us. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's going to be at a couple of places. And he's going to be, let's see, you're going to be at St. Albert Parish in Albertville. That's coming up on Tuesday, April 28th, 7 p.m. All are welcome. There's going to be a free will offering. That's Tuesday. Thursday, you're going to be at St. Pius the 10th in White Bear Lake at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, May 2nd, you're going to be speaking at St. Paul's in Ham Lake from 7 to 8:30 p.m. So you're going to be in an awful lot of places here in the Twin Cities, and that's very exciting. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Peter, I want to talk a little bit about the issue of anger and forgiveness, and then a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Father Michael Becker about what's happening over at the St. John Vianney Seminary. They got some big May crowning event coming up, and we're going to talk about that. But you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back with Dr. Peter Damgard Hansen talking about marriage in just a moment.
Rediscover. Living the Gospel of Life is heard Saturday mornings at 11:30 with hosts Brian Gibson and Kim Morgan.
This past weekend, I got reports that we had 4 babies saved on Saturday morning from 2 different abortion facilities.
Right here in Minneapolis?
Right in the Twin Cities.
In the Twin Cities, beautiful.
3 of them were saved at Whole Woman's in downtown Minneapolis and 1 at Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. One was carrying twins, and she came out, turned to the sidewalk counselor and said, "I'm pregnant with twins. I'm not going to have the abortion."
Aww, took 2 little souls to help that mama.
Listen for a complete understanding of pro-life issues and current events Saturdays at 11:30. Brought to you in part by Glasgow Automotive, maintaining Swedish cars starting with the letter V. They have the latest tools, technology, and training with the same exacting standards as a dealer. Visit GlasgowAuto.com or call 651-227-8182.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, we're in the middle of spring, and everybody needs a new springtime. Maybe your marriage needs a new springtime. We're talking with Dr. Peter Damgard Hansen. You're going to be a father. You know, I'm going to make you a priest, doctor, one of these days. But we're talking about marriage, and particularly, you know, the problems of loving and receiving love in marriage and forgiveness. And it's just been a very, very great conversation, very, very helpful. And I appreciate what you said, Dr. Peter, about when you have been hurt in a relationship, you say, "I can't forgive. I can't seem to do it," which leads to, you know, frustration and anger and even sometimes I think self-hatred, you know, just, "I can't do this." You're saying, well, we've got to bring this to a higher level of forgiveness, which brings the Holy Spirit into the relationship. But I did want to ask you, you know, if one person in the relationship feels empty and they can't give anymore, what if both of people feel they are totally depleted and they don't have anything to give and they're it's like they're empty?
Yes, we get we get to that point. Often, as I said, if you ask for love in a loving way and non-demanding way, you will open the other heart for love and it will flow. But you have to say, but if you can't, it's okay. Because maybe the other person is in the same spot. And I think it's part of our existential baggage that we come into marriage both with a desire to be loved. Mm-hmm. And sometimes one is up, sometimes down, and the other way around. But we will hit the constellation where both parties are down at the same time, standing there with empty cups, reaching out to each other, asking for love, legitimately so.
Is there a name for this?
Well, I call it the zero point.
Zero point.
Yeah, it's a concept I've introduced here to help myself and my clients navigate in this highly delicate, explosive area. Because there you're thrown back into your existential loneliness. The woman or the person you thought would love you is also empty. So you're back into a really deep, deep pain. And that is so scary and hurtful that
most... I was going to say, that's scary.
Very scary. And it's so scary that most people would start a fight or an argument as a sort of relief to get away from this empty spot. Mm-hmm. And many couples fight for decades, you know. And the payoff of marital fights is that you avoid facing the love void underneath it.
Mm-hmm. You see? Yeah, but don't some people, they'll get in that zero point situation mm-hmm. and think, you know what? This isn't going anywhere. Neither of us have anything in this relationship anymore. Maybe I should go out on the street, go to another meeting or somewhere. Maybe someone out there has something to give me.
That is true. That is precisely what happens here. And it's a tempting logic. If we don't have anything to offer each other, then why stay in the marriage? But if you do that, you hear the talk, I do not get what I need in this marriage. I need somebody to give me what I need. So I'll go out and find somebody that can give me what I need. Mm-hmm. You hear this focus on me needs again. And if you do that and find somebody, you can be totally sure that you do not find somebody who is out there looking for somebody to give something
to. So we have just a few minutes. Tell us how do we get through this? you tell us in a few minutes what you do with months in a couple.
Yeah, okay. We have to get through this 0 point and stay in it without giving into the temptation to start a fight. And there we need either a third party who can be with us in this loneliness, in this emptiness, or we need to bring in the Holy Spirit through this third party and tell people this has nothing to do with whether you pick the wrong partner or not. This is part of the existential baggage. Mm-hmm. So if I can stay there, the worst part of being there is that I feel alone. And we felt that when we were kids, and we all of a sudden back in it. As I said before, the worst part of existential pain is not the pain, but the experience of being alone with it. If I can embrace that with the help of Christ crucified, who is in the 0 point, then I can all of a sudden see what's going on there. A veil is lifted from my eyes. And lo and behold, I all of a sudden see that the other person is in the same spot as I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. The bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh is suffering the same as her bones and flesh, you know. Mm-hmm. We are together as this lonely spot, and that sets the stage for awakening compassion for each other in this loneliness. And that sets a new stage for love to flow again, a gratitude for not being alone this time. It's like being two kids alone at home, but no parents there to love them right then. But praise God, I'm not alone. I have a helper in this valley of tears. So if people can stay long enough there, and when I can get them to do that, this happens. And they fall in love at a different level. At rock bottom, you can say, but if we conquer the 0 point, we can handle anything.
I hear it right now. I hear it in my left ear right now that somebody is driving down the highway right now saying, you know what you're saying, Dr. Peter, man, do I need that in my marriage right now. But you're only in the Twin Cities for a little bit. You're giving a few talks, and I would like to have a third party, you know, help me in my marriage. First of all, is there hope for these people that think this? They're driving around right now saying, man, I wish I could talk to Dr. Peter right now, and maybe you can't meet with everyone in the Twin Cities. You can try, mm-hmm. but if you can't meet with everyone, what do people do? How do they reach out? Where do they go?
They need to seek some counseling.
Any advice there, though?
Find Catholic counselors. There are many good Catholic counselors available, and they should definitely try that out.
But you've seen success.
I have seen success with this. My quickest success story was after one of my talks, a young couple came up that were engaged, and they said to me, and they were beaming with joy. They said, Dr. Peter, you need to hear this. Just 3 weeks ago, we felt that there was no more love in our relationship. We were empty, and we were worried that we weren't meant for each other, and we couldn't understand that. We thought all along that was the case. But when we heard you talk about the 0 point and that it's okay not to feel love, then we looked at each other, we were so happy and relieved that love started flowing again. So I will boil all this down to one statement, and it goes like this. It's okay to not be able to love when you can't, mm-hmm. but it's never okay to be unloving.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So rather, my focus is not so much on trying people to become better at love, like a performance. I'm trying to help people become better at quitting being unloving, because that we're pretty good at.
And this isn't something for just newlyweds. This isn't something, the first 7 years to try to get through that 7-year barrier.
No.
This is something that that people can experience have been married 40, 45, 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because you're human.
Yeah, that's right. And didn't dare to go to this spot and fought. And stayed together in the fighting.
But I imagine after being married 40 years, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? Come on. I should be bigger than this. I should be more mature. We're over this. We shouldn't be doing it. But yet the heart still has the same need.
Yes, Yes, and the heart listens when I speak to the heart, so yeah. It's never too late.
That's so good. I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen in the Twin Cities as a result of you being here. I'd love to have you come back. Mm. You're going to be speaking, let's go through that real quickly. You're going to be speaking on Tuesday, April 28th at St. Albert Parish in Albertville, 7 o'clock. All are welcome. Mm-hmm. Thursday, April 30th at Church of St. Pius the 10th in White Bear Lake, 7 o'clock. And you'll be speaking at St. Paul's in Ham Lake, 7 o'clock. That's May 2nd. What are you going to be talking about?
I'll be talking about it's not easy for a man to be alone, but it's not always, it's not good for a man to be alone, but it's not always easy for a man to be with someone either.
That's a great one.
We need to have that one.
I think you got a book in the making there.
And I am writing on one.
That's great. I appreciate your whole approach to psychology and counseling because... You're really hitting it head on, you know, when you talk about having a problem and then being honest about, you know, if we could solve all our own problems ourselves, why would we need the Lord? And our problems, you know, can either move us like pain and suffering, move us to the Lord or we can run.
Right.
You know, it's really a choice of the will. And, and that's the great risk that God made in creating us in His image and likeness is you've got a choice and you can act on that.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing. Dr. Peter, good to have you on the show. How can people get in touch with you and learn more about what you do?
They can go to my website, which is docpeter.com.
docpeter.com.
Yeah, and I do offer, you know, counseling worldwide, actually, via Skype.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and people are very welcome to come visit me in Denmark, too.
Oh.
Some people do that for their vacation and intensive counseling.
I'm sensing a problem coming on here.
But I've been so well received here and met so much support and interest that I have no doubt
that's
I'll
great.
Be come back and do more ministry here.
That's great. Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen, go to www.docpeter.com and you'll certainly want to take advantage of his appearances here in the Twin Cities. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Tisok Rosales, and also Father Michael Becker. Got some big things happening over at St. John Vianney Seminary at St. Thomas. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a minute. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Rob Dubell again from Grove Builders, your local exterior remodeling company. After our extreme winter, you may have realized your home needs some help. Grove Builders can help with your siding, windows, patio doors, or gutters. We will help you design your home's exterior for the best look, energy efficiency, with the best price available. We are experts in roofing, siding, gutters, windows, and doors. The possibilities these days are endless, and our goal is to help Relevant Radio listeners protect the investment you have in your home and make the improvements easy and affordable. Please ask us about our financing options. Give us a call at 763-229-0923 or find us on the web at grove-builders.com to schedule your hassle-free consultation today with Grove Builders. We are trusted, reliable, and licensed to update your home anywhere in the Twin Cities area. 763-229-0923. I hope you'll call us soon to make improvements to your home. Grove Builders, your local exterior remodeling company.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Coming off quite a night last night where we got together with all of our great Relevant Radio family out in Bloomington and had a great evening last night as we were focusing on Relevant Radio and the impact it's had on the Twin Cities. And I was so honored to be the recipient of the fourth year they've given away the Leading with Hope Award and Christ Brings Hope Award, and just very, 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 very honored. If you just joined us, we had a great conversation with Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen. You can go online and listen to that, talking about marriage and the problems with marriage and how to get through it. Right now, we're going to talk with Father Michael Becker and Tisok Rosales. As you know, many of you know, the college seminary, I think they used to call it the minor seminary, but the college seminary of St. John Vianney is the largest college seminary in the country. That's right. Right here at home. Right here in the good old Twin Cities. It's the largest in the country. They're doing great work, and they've got some wonderful things coming up. And I want to welcome to the show Father Michael Becker. How are you?
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you again today. And last night was a wonderful celebration with Relevant Radio. I'm glad you were duly honored, and you did a beautiful job also of honoring your wife. So, yeah, SJV was at a table as well and celebrating with you, and now again today.
Yeah, well, the work continues, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a great point, and a lot of people don't realize it, that the seminary here, the college seminary of St. John Vianney, is the largest in the country, and that's something to really celebrate, isn't it?
It's awesome. We have 20 different dioceses send, but we've got 30-some from our own archdiocese, and 135 in total this year. 10% of all college seminarians are at St. John Vianney, so I and my brother priests and lay staff consider it a great privilege to serve them. We are helping form future priests around the Midwest primarily, but it's a great gift and a duty as well to, you know, I long for them to be saints, and so we're doing our best to serve them well. We have been turning guys away because we're so full, and I think for our own archdiocese, which has been through the ringer the last year and a half, it might be a very hopeful message or effect to know that, in fact, the young men are not hesitating to come to the seminary to answer the call. Every year, we're taking in 45 to 50 new men for the last number of years in a row. And, in fact, if we talk about some of the pain the church has had, we ask the young seminarians, how do you feel about that? What they typically say to me is, Father, just makes me all the more want to show people what a holy priest can be.
Mm. Well, holy priests come out of holy families, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Family's a big, big part of it. They're the domestic church, if you will, the first seminary.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to be a part of promoting SJV, as it's affectionately called here in the Twin Cities, St. John Vianney College Seminary. And what we do today and how we support you today has an awful lot to do with what tomorrow will look like, right?
Well, definitely, and the young men are being formed well, and it's your future where you can consider your own children, grandchildren, going to the sacraments. Who will marry, who will celebrate their wedding with them, who will baptize their your grandchildren. Those are the men in the seminary today, so we definitely want to invest in them. The families, again, our first step for the formation, but then we take them and raise them up to be men. We get a lot of boys here, and we go from boys to men.
That's great. Well, you've got a big event coming up in the Spring Mass and the May crowning. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that can benefit SJV.
Well, yeah, and maybe I could turn the TESOC with that, but we started last year an annual celebration of the crowning of Mary, and this year, May 3rd, it will be. We have a special Mass and brunch to follow. It is already sponsored by a number of generous benefactors, but it's also a fundraiser. So, TESOC, would you like to share a little more about it?
Sure, absolutely.
TESOC Rosales, let me just say this real quick. TESOC, you are the Director of Development at St. John Vianney College Seminary. You're working hard to make these dreams a reality and to be kind of a helping with being a kind of a co-architect for the future of our priests here.
That's right. That's right. I'm really honored to be in this role. And actually, it's I'm really blessed because I, as a layperson, as a member of our local church, I have a front row seat to see what Father Becker and his brother priest are, the impact they're having, not only on these young men, but on the future of the church. You know, I was speaking to a group this morning, and they were asking about, wow, is it fair that you've got such great priests at the seminary? I want them in my parish.
It's totally fair.
You know?
Totally
and
fair.
I said, well, sure, I'd love to have Father Becker at my parish too, but you know what? And think of the impact he's having, the ripple effect, the impact on all these now where we have 137 young men discerning their call to the, you know, to the priesthood, and the impact that they'll have on countless more parishioners and families going forward. So I'm really blessed just to have a front row seat. I get to go to Mass each day with these young men, and it's just a blessing to see these priests in action, Father Becker and his brother priests. So
what's coming up?
Well, we've got a lot of things coming. One of the things is, like Father said, is our Spring Mass and May crowning. May 3rd, it's of course, we'll have a crowning of Mary to honor Mary and the gift she's given us and the gift of her son and the gift of St. John Vianney College Seminary.
Can you pause for just a second there?
Sure.
You know, we have some listeners that might not know what a May crowning is. What is that?
Sure. Well, Father, you may help us out here, but what we actually do is crown Mary as Mother of the Church in our parish. And Father, you want to describe that, how that looks like after Mass?
Yeah, well, there's during Mass, we have actually a grandchild of some friends of SJV will come forward and literally place a crown on a statue of Mary. It's a devotion that's been in existence in the church for many, many years, even millennia. May is typically a month to honor Mary, as well as October. And so, you know, we remember her. It's pretty close to Mother's Day, and she's our spiritual mother. Every seminarian is invited. In fact, the beginning of every year, we pilgrimage to the cathedral, to the chapel of Our Lady, and we consecrate our lives and on seminary in the year to Mary. And I encourage everyone who's listening to consider that for your own family. Are you consecrated to Mary? She's the best advocate we would have. She brings us right to Jesus, our Lord. Will never fail in interceding for us, protecting us. So we celebrate her at this time and her role in the life of the young seminarians, as well as all of those who are friends of SJV.
Very good. That's a good explanation right there. How many people can be a part of this?
Well, we're open still to some seats. You know, everyone can come. If they want to find out more, they can either go to our website at www.viani.org, or they can give us a call at 651-962-5967. Let us know how many they'd like to bring. It's a family event. You know, we welcome all to help come celebrate and see the future of the church and celebrate Mass, you know, with.
And what a great way to teach your children.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking with T. Soak Rosales and Father Michael Becker about the May crowning coming up. Guess when? It's in May. It's the 3rd. And it's going to take place at St. John Vianney. And T. Soak, how does this actually benefit the St. John Vianney College Seminary?
In two ways. Primarily, it allows families to see the work and to get to know some of the seminarians. It gives them an insight as to what Father Becker and his brother priests are doing at St. John Vianney College Seminary, and establishes that relationship. Mm-hmm. This is, like you said, Jeff, this is our seminary, our college seminary here in our diocese. While we also serve 20 other dioceses throughout the United States, the majority of our seminarians are from right here. Mm-hmm. And so this is your seminary.
Father Becker, you know that we've got so many listeners around the Twin Cities, both Catholic and non-Catholic. And when people hear about May crowning and crowning the Blessed Virgin Mary, sometimes they'll say, well, I thought Jesus was the king. What do we teach about that? And what's the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our lives, people who serve Jesus Christ?
Well, Jeff, I think you've written on that as well. From the Old Testament, we know that, you know, the times of David, the important female presence was the Queen Mother, not necessarily the bride of David, but his mother. And so that is fulfilled in the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen and Mother of Jesus. We're all members of the body of Christ. We are brought into relationship with Mary through Jesus, so that she is our spiritual mother, given to us by Christ. At the foot of the cross, he says to the beloved disciple, behold your mother, behold your son. And so it's a gift from Jesus to us. Now, what that means is we have a tremendous advocate, someone who will always be there for us, someone who listens, who loves, has compassion, and it's a gift to us for us to respond. Mary will never force herself onto us.
Yeah, that's great. That is you put it together so well right there. We're going to have to get going, but T-Soak, tell us once again, how can people get involved in this May crowning?
They can go to our website, viani.net, or call us at 651-962-5967, and we invite all to come out and celebrate with us.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Father Michael Becker and T-Soak Rosales, and praise God for such a great college seminary.
And here's a look at some of the events coming up around the Twin Cities. Dr. Peter Damgard Hansen will speak at three parish events, Tuesday, April 28th, 7 p.m., St. Albert's in Albertville, Thursday, April 30th, 7 p.m., St. Pius X in White Bear Lake, Saturday, 7 p.m., St. Paul's in Ham Lake. For more information, go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. Click the link for the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, or call Sonia 651-291-4488. That's 651-291-4488.
You can travel with others from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis from September 22nd to the 28th for a once-in-a-lifetime event at the World Meeting of Families. The theme is Love is Our Mission. The family fully alive. Pope Francis will join with families from around the world for prayer and celebration. For more information and to register, go to the events tab at archspm.org. That's archspm.org.
The Grandparents Apostolate at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul invites all grandparents to an event of prayer, discussion, and fellowship, highlighted by a presentation titled The Grandparent Presence, Is It a Role of Something More? Speaker will be Deacon Russ Kasemba. The event takes place Wednesday, April 29th, 8:45 a.m. For more information, contact Nativity of Our Lord Parish Office.
It was mentioned last night at the Relevant Radio Celebration, Women in the New Evangelization, otherwise known as WINE. Invite the women of the Archdiocese to St. George's Books and Gifts in Blaine on Thursday, April 30th from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for an inspirational gathering and book signing featuring Laura Sobiak. Laura is the author of Fly a Little Higher, one of WINE's highly recommended books. No registration is needed. Come if you're interested. For more information, go to the events tab at womeninthenewevangelization.com. That's womeninthenewevangelization.com.
The Cathedral of St. Paul invites you to their first Saturday speaker series, Saturday, May 2nd. Sarah Christmeyer, co-developer and author of the Great Adventure Bible Study from Ascension Press, will be speaking on facing and accepting trials. Refreshments provided. For more information, go to cathedralstpaul.org or call 651-228-1766. That's 651-228-1766.
Net Ministries invites teens to their monthly Lifeline Mass on Saturday, May 2nd. The theme this month is, "And You Shall Receive Power." Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney Seminary, will be the celebrant, and Gina Bauer, popular youth and conference speaker, will be speaking. For more information, go to the Teens tab at netusa.org. That's netusa.org.
And St. Michael Parish Farmington invites you to their Spring Fling event, Friday, May 8th. It begins at 5:30, social hour and casino games, followed by dinner at 7:30. Call 651-463-3360. And coming up next week, Jeff?
Join us next week as we talk with civil lawyer Dean Nathan Allen, a moderator of the Metropolitan Tribunal with the Archdiocese. The tribunal is staffed by people who are appointed by the Archbishop to represent him and the faith community in church judicial proceedings for marriage cases and other matters. In other words, we're going to talk about annulments, and that's coming up on the next show right here at the Rediscover Hour. And we hope you have a great day. Walk with the Lord. He's walking with you. Make a big difference in the Twin Cities. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.